This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
At an Air Force base in the south of Taiwan, fighter jets practice for an incursion towards the island by military planes from nearby mainland China. Jets have been scrambling for real more often as China has stepped up its military patrols, most recently last weekend. It seems to be Beijing's reminder that it will always regard Taiwan as part of China, and it's prepared to take it back by force if necessary.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that report comes from Al Jazeera, and it makes you wonder what will happen if China does that. What will the U.S. role be? There's a lot going on internationally right now, and I do want to talk to you a little bit about it. You know, we've been dealing with a lot internally right now. We've talked about COVID and mental health and economics and bailouts and immigration. There's so much going on here in our own country. You've got in Minnesota, of course, the Derek Chauvin trial. It's got a lot of people on edge. Congress is divided more sharply than it has been. And the political divisions that are happening, they are deeper than they have been in a while. We are, I would say, a divided country. And I go back to what I always say to you. Let's pray for the healing of those divisions. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for those who have been given the noble charge of governing. But there's a lot going on in our foreign affairs, our foreign relations. And here's another observation I've made. You know, I have the great privilege of being able to travel the world. And when you're overseas or in other nations, you often get a lot of international news. I can turn to my local news here, and it's all about immigration and the Biden, you know, $2 trillion bailout or the infrastructure plan or whatever. You get a spattering of international news, but there's a lot going on. And if you do get some here, it's just a little bit. For instance, I'll bring you up to speed on what the mainstream media has not really, I think, given you a whole lot, a deep look at. For instance, NATO countries, they had to launch 10 separate sorties in just 6 hours to shadow Russian fighters and bombers that were flying over areas like the Arctic and the North Atlantic. Did you hear about that anywhere? No, it's probably right here is the first time you heard that. Russia, and I've been reading and following this, Russia's now building up its military on the northern frontier. You know, north of the Arctic Circle, it's posing a more immediate danger by mobilizing. They have 20,000 troops, and they're accompanying tanks and artillery and other military equipment to the border of Ukraine. So we're seeing a move there. I mean, they've already took Crimea, right? We've talked about that in the past. They took Crimea from Ukraine. What is Vladimir Putin doing? You know, he could run through Ukraine pretty easily if he really wanted to. Would the U.S. do anything to impact it? My understanding is that Ukraine's not part of the not part of NATO, but we'll see. I'll get clarity from that from Dakota Wood. But, you know, further east, China right now, and I want to talk about China as well. They're pushing their weight around in the South and East China Seas. There's a flotilla right now of about 200 fishing vessels, which, well, they're really not fishing vessels. They're in a place called Whitsun Reef that China, it occupies right now. It's claimed by the Philippines. And, of course, we have there was the incursion of Taiwan's airspace a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you heard about that. China sent 20 planes in what looked like I'm not a military guy here, but it did look like a test run of a plan of attack. Thank you, Patrick. Hey, Ukraine is not part of NATO. I didn't think they were. So maybe back to that point in Russia, would we come to their aid? I don't know. But let me share a little bit with China, and we'll talk about all this with you, and you can join me, too. 888-914-9149 if you want to get in. Senator Tom Cotton, he's a Republican from Arkansas. He asked Admiral John Aquilino how soon he believes a Chinese invasion of Taiwan could happen. Listen to what he said. Listen.
Admiral Davidson testified that he thinks the PLA may have the capability to effectively invade Taiwan in as soon as 6 years, maybe less. Do you agree with that view?
Senator, there's many numbers out there. I know Admiral Davidson said 6 years. You have to ask him where he made that assessment. There are spans from today to 2045. My opinion is this problem is much closer to us than most think, and we have to take this on, put those deterrence capabilities like PDI in place in the near term and with urgency.
Yeah, I share that view. It's not a 2045, it's not a 2030 problem. I suspect it may not even be a 2026 problem.
That's kind of, should give us all pause, right? And we'll talk to Dakota Wood coming up in a minute about that. But one other thing just regarding China, I'll just throw this out on the table too. And I saw this, this was a surprise to me. I didn't know about this until this morning. China's actually starting to threaten Japan. Hey, you heard me right, Japan. Over a set of, they have these, the set of uninhabited islands called the Senkaku, I think it's the Senkuka, S-E-N-K-A-K-U, I think is how it's spelled. There's islands there which Japan administers, but which China has recently claimed as its own. So China flexing its muscles. And all of this is testing the U.S. You know, Ukraine is not part of NATO, as Patrick had pointed out, but it is seeking, you know, accelerated membership into that organization. So defending the breadbasket of Central Europe would be pretty costly. We're allies with the Philippines, going to war over some uninhabited rock. Would we do that? You know, would that be a, you know, be a much larger involvement than we might want to wish for? And the same goes for Japan. Let's talk about it. There's a lot to get into here as we see two big powers right now flexing their muscles. I'm joined today by a man who served 20 years in the Marine Corps and is now the Senior Research Fellow for Defense Programs at the Heritage Foundation. And I want to recommend something to you. He's the author of an annual report that comes out, the Index of U.S. Military Strength. You can find that at heritage.org, and it's always a delight to have with me Dakota Wood. Dakota, thank you again for your time. Good afternoon.
Drew, it's always great to be with you. Thanks for having me on and some important topics.
Yeah, so much to talk about. I mean, I monitor this. I you know, we don't always get it in our mainstream media. You might get a spattering of it here or there, but, you know, most Americans don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. I think it's important to talk about it. And I also look at our own policy with the Biden administration and how we'll deal with China. Let's talk U.S. military first. How robust is the U.S. military right now? Could we, if we had to, take on China or Russia or both at the same time?
Both at the same time, no. And you mentioned our index, heritage.org/military, and we conclude in that we could handle one major competitor or enemy like a Russia or a China, but it would take all of the United States military to do that. So you'd have to globally source, flow everybody to that region. You know, these wars don't take place in 24 hours, so you've got operations that extend over time. So our military has gotten so small, we could handle one, probably win it, but it would take everything that we've got. So what that means is you've got no ability to cover any other obligation or interest anywhere else in the world. So you create opportunities for exploitation. You know, if you're in the Western Pacific, tangling with China, then Russia makes a move on the Baltics or Ukraine or something else, and vice versa. You know, if we found ourselves in a heavy conflict with Iran, for example, in the Middle East, then it opens the doors to China or Russia. So when you get down to the low levels that we have with very old equipment, and we can go into those numbers if you'd like, it really creates a dangerous set of circumstances. And I think that you highlighting all these issues is evidence that the rest of the world just doesn't sit back while the United States, you know, wrangles with its own internal domestic problems. You know, the more that we're distracted here at home, it creates opportunities for others abroad. And yet we depend on trade and relationships and access to markets and energy and all those other sorts of things in the rest of the world. So we run risk when we ignore it.
Let's talk about trade for a second, because I've often thought about this. So China flexes its muscle, so they want Taiwan back. Okay, so say they go in. Would the U.S. be prepared to help Taiwan? One, but two, we are so interconnected as a global economy today. You know, and look at the amount of trade that we have with China. I mean, a war would be deleterious between both parties. I mean, do economics, sure. What kind of role do economics play in whether a nation decides to do something like take over Taiwan?
It's always a prioritization of interest. So what is most important to you at this particular point in time relative to your other interests? If China wants to become the preeminent power, not only in Asia and the Indo-Pacific region, but eventually globally, they see their rightful place as a major, if not the major, total power. They certainly want to be the chief economic power. And so they've made a lot of promises to themselves. You know, look at what they've done with Hong Kong. Look at what they're doing with Taiwan and how large Taiwan and the reunification with the mainland that is in the Chinese Communist Party. And their own anniversary date of 2045 is coming up. That would be the 100th anniversary of the Great Revolution in China. So they've got their own markers out there. They're also dealing with a demographic crisis where they have a rapidly aging population. They had that one-child policy, which skewed it to an all-male population for a number of years. And so their concerns are, do they get old before they get rich enough?
Yeah.
And do they start to lose a younger cohort that they can use for military forces? So there are a lot of dynamics here that could make a move on Taiwan and the large possibility of war more important than maintaining good trade relationships with the United States, right? Most of their population is in rural, lower, almost poverty-level incomes anyway. It's the coastal cities and the elite and the industrialists that have a lot of the money going on. So they've weathered hard times before, just like Russia has. For us, it seems to be a bit of a stretch. You know, trade is always good. It helps everybody out. But that's not the chief interest of Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or Boko Haram. So a major power like China could think that its place in the world and its near-term objectives are more important than the trade, because they can always circle back later on as the dominant power, and then everybody has to trade with them because of their 1 billion person market.
Yeah. How likely is it that we would go to war over a nation like Taiwan? I mean, we said we would get their back. Would the U.S. be willing to do that?
Well, this is one of those no easy answer things, right? So what's going on here at home? Do you have the material ability to ride to an obligation where we have guaranteed the security of Taiwan in the event of a forceful takeover, right? We changed our position years ago to recognize a one China sort of thing, but we said they had to figure this out politically, that if China tried to take it by force, then we would intervene. It's 6,000 or 7,000 miles from here. We have a small force in place.
Yeah.
Korea is more worried about North Korea. Japan doesn't have any power projection capabilities. And yet, if we didn't go to Taiwan's support, what does that say about the reliability
right.
of the United States as an ally in any other circumstances? Israel, our NATO allies, neighbors to our south. And so this kind of political calculation, right, of the long-term harm to the United States, reliability as a partner, you know, what is the strength of the U.S. dollar?
Yeah.
Can you trust the United States to do these sorts of things? That could be a real tipping point that we really feel we have no choice.
Yeah, I would think
downstream negative impacts of not going.
Yeah, I would think we'd have to for that very reason. You know,
yeah, I think so.
People rely on us and trust that we will come to their aid in that capacity. If we lose that cachet internationally, I think we are in trouble. You know, China, as you point out, though, is doing everything from creating new digital currency to, you know, flexing its muscles in a lot of these different areas. But I never really thought about the demographics, the aging population and the unbalance that they have between the male and the female demographics. And that all plays in there. So time is a factor in all this. I have a producer whose mother has, I guess, family. They have family in the Philippines. And he was saying to me that, that the Philippines, the president, is more allied with China than it is with the U.S. Let's say, should the U.S. go and help, you know, its friends in the Philippines and, let's say, Japan, too? Japan over some of these uninhabited territories. That's a little bit different than, I would say, maybe Taiwan. But or does the calculus factor the same? You know, that if we say we're going to be there for you, whether it's over some rocks and some islands or a population, we're going to be there.
Right. You know, multivariable, right? So our longest standing ally in the Pacific, 70 years plus, is the alliance with the Philippines. Clearly, we've been assisting Japan since the end of World War II, and it's been a huge partner in that area. These little islands, one, are prestige things, but more importantly for these countries is if that's your territory, then you get economic benefits that come with that. You know, exclusive fishing rights, undersea minerals. It expands your ability to extend your military power. You just control more space, right? So it's not just the little atoll itself, it's what that represents. So in this big contest between these major players and reliance on the U.S. as an important ally, again, the priority of these interests could say that even over, you know, this rump little island in the middle of a big, you know, spot of water, the larger important piece would have us go to the aid, especially of a country like Japan. And they would base this on historical claims and, you know, international law and those sorts of things. But I think that, yes, if there was a forceful takeover, that the United States would feel it necessary to aid our partners.
So let's talk now Russia. That's China, all right? And Russia's doing a couple of things. I mean, I remember when they rolled in and they took Crimea from the Ukraine. What are their plans for Ukraine right now? What's the latest? What are you monitoring? What are you seeing?
Russia always prizes a series of buffer states so that its primary competitors aren't right there along its border. And that's why it viewed the Warsaw Pact as so important to separate Mother Russia from the Western European countries. Right. As NATO has expanded, you now see NATO member countries butting right up against Russia and its influence declining. So Ukraine has mismanaged its own affairs. It does have a large ethnic Russian population. Domestic laws about forbidding Russian to be used in schools and just all sorts of sort of things created the problem that they're dealing with. So if that isn't resolved, or if the United States and Western European countries don't come to support the Ukrainian government, what you will see is Russia taking more and more bites out of that country and keeping it destabilized. It doesn't necessarily want to take over Ukraine and bring it back into what used to be the Soviet Union, but it wants a destabilized Ukraine that isn't strong. It's not a great ally of the West. Mm-hmm. You know, Russia can influence the politics. So you want these kind of vassal states around you. And this is why they're doing this sort of activity.
Yeah. You know, the Ukraine is the breadbasket of Central Europe right now. And again, they're not part of NATO, so I don't know how that all will shake out.
They've got a path to it. There's supposed to be democratic reform. It's this plan of action that's in place. If they meet certain thresholds, then NATO has said that they would bring them in as a member, but it's been very problematic.
So what do you think Vladimir Putin would do then? Is he going to continue to test you know, NATO and see how far they're willing to go?
Absolutely. He will continue to support the rebels with weapons, intelligence. He's going to mess with the Ukrainian politics. It's a, you know, divide and conquer sort of thing from a political standpoint. But as long as they can keep Ukraine destabilized instead of getting its act together, it provides this buffer, right, an opportunity for Vladimir Putin. It also sends a message to Belarus, which is just to the north of Ukraine. Belarus is important because that's the big landmass between Russia and you get into the Baltic states like Lithuania and Latvia. And just to the west of Belarus is Kaliningrad, and that is a major Russian military outpost. And so they've always kind of seen a land corridor which would divide the northern NATO states from the southern NATO states. And it's, again, something to be worried about in all this messaging and troublemaking.
Yeah, I thought I read just a couple of days ago that Belarus is now leaning towards Russia. Is that true?
Well, that's their near neighbor, right? So if you're the president or the people of Belarus, can you count on Germany? You know, that's two or three countries away and has a very, very weak military. And Germany is becoming dependent on Russia for its energy flow, Nord Stream 2 pipeline and all that. Yeah. So for Germany, the industrial power of Europe that could have much greater sway. Back in the Cold War, they had 5,000 tanks in West Germany. Today, total Germany has fewer than 300.
Wow.
They can't get a submarine underway. Their aircraft are old. They're becoming dependent on Russia for energy. And the largest trading partner for Germany is China. China is now also the largest trading partner for the European Union. So if you're Belarus and you look at who you're surrounded by, right, a destabilized Ukraine, Germany's not going to do anything. Slovakia and Hungary and stuff are great countries. They just don't have much military weight. You have to be very careful about the fights that you pick with somebody like Russia and Vladimir Putin in charge, for the next however many years, right? I mean, he gets to be president for life, so he'll be around for a while.
That's so true. That really is. So what's going on with Russia sending out these bombers and fighters? I know the U.S. had to scramble their own aircraft. What are they doing? I mean, I know that goes on a lot, but is this a little bit different?
Yeah, it gives your people experience, you know, how to do that, right? So they send these planes over, they have to coordinate that, refueling, you know, how do you navigate? I mean, this is real-world practicing that keeps your pilots and your air crews competent, right? That keeps them effective, too. It tests the defenses of Norway and Sweden and others. So you are measuring how they respond. Huh. And if there are patterns of behavior, how do their radars light up? What's their command and control structure? Did they respond in 2 minutes or 20 minutes or 2 hours, right? So this is all a learning exercise. It also begins to exhaust people. Yeah. You know, how many times do you want to get into the air? And so you're tiring the force out, and you're also putting mileage on the airplanes, you know, in terms of flight hours. So an airplane is built for 5,000 or 6,000 hours. Every time they have to go intercept at high speed, a lot of stresses on the planes, you're helping to wear out their force. So it's a message to say we're big. We're bad, where you have to be accounted for. You're keeping your competitors off balance. You're wearing their force out, and you're detecting these patterns of behavior that allow you to improve your own war plans if you ever thought it got to that point.
That's fascinating. I'm always learning something new, and I'm grateful for that. I never thought about those strategies. Hey, a final thought here, a final question for you. The Arctic Circle, I know that's an area that both the U.S. and Russia see a lot of value in, and yet Russia is now building up its military presence there in a big way. Where's all that leading?
There's this bet that with climate change, more of the Arctic Ocean will be navigable for commercial transport.
Right.
So if you look at Great Circle routes and stuff, it's far less distance for freighters, you know, for commercial vessels to go that northern sea route than it is down, you know, through the Suez Canal or, right, you know, anywhere else to get one side of the planet to the other. All of those waters are very, very close to Mother Russia. So Russia believes that as the waters become navigable, they will be the dominant power. And if you can charge people basically passage fees, you know, you have to have one of our pilots on, you have to pay a tax, you know, to go through these waters that are contiguous to Russia, it's a huge moneymaker. And as people would become dependent on that route for economic reasons, now you have more political influence. You know, if you disrupt that in some way, it causes economic heartache for the countries and the companies that are dependent on that. So they are making a huge grab of warming up old Cold War Arctic bases, installing new ones, more radars. They've got 50 icebreakers.
Wow.
The United States has one.
Wow.
Has one. So they're very serious about this Arctic region, and they keep extending their claims further and further north toward the North Pole. Lots of fishing, minerals, you know, political power and all that. So it's a big deal for them.
And here we are, you know, trillions of dollars of infrastructure bailout. Yeah. I mean, we're spending money like it's like it's crazy here. I, you know, hopefully our military will be able to meet the demands that the rest of the world depends on us for. Hey, thank you very much, Dakota. Always an enlightening conversation with you. I really enjoy talking with you. The Index of U.S. Military Strength, the best way to find that, read that if anyone's interested, how they get connected.
Heritage.org/military. Or if they just go to Heritage and do a search, it's one of the very first things that come up in our search box.
And it's well worth a read. Hey, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the week, and thanks for making time.
God bless.
God bless you. That's Dakota Wood. He served 20 years in the United States Marine Corps and senior research fellow right now for defense programs at the Heritage Foundation. I always enjoy him. I just think he's so insightful. I wanted to do that for you, too. I want you to know what's going on in the world. You know what it brings me back down to? And this is important. This is something that we have to remember, okay? We need to pray. We need to pray for the conversion of Russia. You know, we need to pray for the conversion of China. Our Lady came, and she warned of the rise of some of these great problems that they were going to face in 1918. We saw what happened in the 20th century. I think today is not a whole lot different. Our Lady of Fatima urgently requested this, and it's a request that has been, I think, ignored and downplayed for too long. Russia spread her errors. You know, true conversion of Russia would change the world for the better. true conversion of China would do the same thing. So I think we need to pray for that intention and do it regularly. Pray for our own country, too, that we get things right here. You know, and do it especially when you pray the rosary. You can join Father Rocky at night at 7 p.m. as he prays the rosary. And you can join us here for the chapel every afternoon at 3. Always love to do that. I only have a minute or two before I take a quick pause here. Just want to remind you, if you enjoy the program, tell others about it. I wrote a book on Divine Mercy. I only have a day or two left to remind you about it because that's it. We're just about out of them. I want you to get this book, and it is yours absolutely free. No strings attached. I want you to understand how powerful God's mercy is in face of all these problems that we're facing in the culture today. And the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, like the rosary, is a powerful spiritual weapon that's given. And I write about it. And we see how it has held back the hands of angels of wrath that God has sent. It's just amazing. I've got all sorts of stories in the book. I introduce you in a special way to Divine Mercy. You'll come to love it like I love it. It's part of my spirituality. But the time is ticking. You only have a day or two left to get it, and then that is it, okay? So here you go. It's relevantradio.com. Go now. Have somebody else sign up if you already had it. Make sure you get it. Everybody gets these books, okay? Relevantradio.com. It's free. No shipping, no handling, no strings attached. Only a couple days left to get it, and then we're closing the door on that deal. And be sure and join Father Rocky and I this Sunday for Divine Mercy Sunday. We will actually pray the chaplet on that day, and we'll also offer some other great spiritual activities. So be sure and join us for an hour of Divine Mercy celebration on the Great Feast of Mercy. I want to thank my producers, Jake Moore, Thomas Siskevich, Patrick Alog, for all the good work that they're doing. When we come back, we can all talk a little bit about your cell phone spying on you. That's right. You think it happens? Have you ever had something like you mentioned you need butter and you're in the store and next thing you know, an ad comes up or you're watching TV and it happens? Wait to hear. We'll talk about the truth behind this strange phenomenon.
Is your phone spying on you for advertisers? I keep hearing stories of ads that seem to pop up coincidentally for products you were just talking about. Consider this experience of my niece. She was merely talking about shopping for a bra of all things, and then lo and behold, in her social media, this ad popped up.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, that's a scary question from CNN. Are you concerned your phone is spying on you? Is it true? You just heard that example. While we were sitting here, and I want to thank the person who just emailed me, and I'll keep her name anonymous, but she says, yes, I was talking about needing new tires and abracadabra. Coupons for tires appeared within hours. Arg. I love that email. Great job. You know, is it possible, not that you are being spied on, but is it possible that there is some eavesdropping going on? Is it possible that, you know, when you talk about something like that, suddenly you hear, you know, you your phone somehow hears you and goes ahead and gets back to you. You know, look, a lot of people have these eerie tales, right? I just had the woman with the tires. Perhaps you've been talking to a friend about an island vacation and suddenly deals for Hawaii or the Caribbean pop up, right? On your Facebook feed. How does that happen? It's kind of creepy. Is it coincidence? Is there something more to it? Was your smartphone, which is always around you, was it eavesdropping on your conversation? It's a fascinating thought, and there is an explanation for it. What do you think? Did it happen to you? You can call me right now, 888-914-9149. Could your phone be, I don't know, tuned into what you're saying, some keywords, and then redirecting advertisements based on what you talked about? CNN will give you two examples that aired on the POTUS Sirius XM channel, and maybe you can relate to this. Listen.
I asked my SiriusXM radio audience if anything like that had ever happened to them. Here are just two of many examples.
My husband and I went to a buffet-style restaurant. I chose the piece of lemon pie, and we sat at the table and talked about it. Since then, I've been bombarded with lemon pie ads and recipes. I asked my son, who's in IT, and he thinks I'm crazy. I don't know. It's the craziest thing.
I had my iPhone next to me, and I was talking about how I needed to get an oil change. Maybe 4 hours later, 3 hours later, I got on some of my apps, and there were ads for oil changes in my Facebook feed.
It is funny, isn't it? My wife swears the phone spies on her. I shouldn't say that. I don't want her to sound like she's crazy, because she's not. As I said, she's a very intelligent woman, very bright, and of course, is skeptical, but she says she'll be on the phone. She's talking to her girlfriends about something. Next thing you know, she goes, opens her iPad, and then there she's getting these ads for what they just talked about. You know, and again, I said to her, honey, that's crazy. I don't believe that at all. That's your phone is not eavesdropping on you. Think of how many people that have to do that. But, you know, there's people, other people said, oh, no, I was talking about yard renovations I want to do, and advertisements for lawnmowers showed up on my Twitter account, or, you know, I was working out, and, you know, all of a sudden I see this drink that starts popping up for, you know, electrolytes and things like that. Is it creepy or is it coincidence? What is behind all this? And we'll take some of your calls too, and we can certainly get into that conversation. So let's say again, you're taking a vacation, and then, you know, with you're talking about taking a vacation, and ads about, you know, the islands pop up. Was Google or Apple listening? You know, it seems like that, and you almost half expect it because of all the big tech, you know, data that is somehow gobbled up by the information you give or what they know about you. But, you know, a lot of people also joke about the NSA, you know, that super top secret national security agency listening in on all of our calls, or whether or not, you know, it's a joke. I don't know. It remains to be seen. But are your phones spying on you? We'll take more of your calls. You can share more of your experiences. But let me get the take of somebody who has written and who knows intimately about the media. And I am joined today by Dr. Eugene Gahn. He's a faculty associate of the Veritas Center and a professor of interactive media communications and fine arts at the great Franciscan University of Steubenville. And he wrote a book called Infinite Bandwidth. You may want to check it out. It's a great read. Infinite Bandwidth, Encountering Christ in the Media. And check out his web domain. Okay. Easy to remember. Kind of rhymes. Eugene Gahn. .weebly.com. EugeneGahn.weebly.com. You want to spell his last name? It's G-A-N, okay? Hey, Doc, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good to hear from you, Drew.
My wife's going to kill me for throwing her under the bus because I made her sound crazy. Yeah. But she swears it happens to her all the time.
You got to go back immediately and tell her, no, honey, you are not crazy. You're the most loving, lovely, beautiful, trustworthy woman I know.
Hilarious. I will do that on my knees later when I get off the air. So what do you make of this? I mean, she swears, oh, my gosh, we were just talking about, you know, eating here or doing that, or shoes, whatever, you know, and boom, they show up on the feed. And you hear many other people who say the same type of thing. What's your take on it?
Well, in large part, she's right.
Yeah.
She and many other people are right. I mean, not every single app or device or smartphone is going to be listening on you. It depends on your settings. It depends on what exactly you've installed in a phone. It depends on the phone itself, the device itself. But it's entirely possible. These apps, these phones, these devices, I mean, I'm going to throw in, Amazon, Google's Alexa, Amazon's Alexa Echo, and all the whole slew of them are made to be listening to you. I mean, they're made to interpret what you're saying and then send that back to their database, interprets what you're saying, and then gives you the information. I mean, Siri is going to do that. Cortana is going to do that. So if you want that kind of convenience, well, you're going to have to put up with some loss of privacy.
That's so true.
So, yeah.
Let's do this. Let's take some calls. We'll hear some other experiences, and then we can talk more. Katie is listening in West Allis, Wisconsin. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Katie.
Really freaky situation, because we weren't actually on our devices. We were just in our kitchen talking about, like, feminine issues.
Right.
And I play games like Candy Crush and Trivia Crack, and all of a sudden, all these ads started popping. I don't pay for them, so I get all the ads.
Right.
All these ads started popping up for, like, special products.
Wow.
And we weren't even on the phone texting or talking. It was just, in person talking.
Well, Katie, let me ask you, do you have a Vizio TV, or do you have, like, an Amazon Echo or one of those things?
We do have a Vizio TV, but it's not smart TV. It's just, like, a regular TV. And then also, actually, I was thinking that my son won an Amazon Echo, which normally isn't on, but it would have been possibly an earshot.
That's interesting. First of all, Katie,
even though it's not on.
That's bizarre. You're talking feminine products. Next thing you know, they're saying, hey, you can get these, you know? That is bizarre. Doctor,
yeah, and it's something I, like, never even heard of. You know what I mean?
Like, that's crazy.
I'm like,
well, thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah. The reason I don't want to throw Amazon under the bus, Amazon Echo or Vizio, but I had heard that there were devices like that that they were listening. They were kind of like Vizio had the ability, I think those smart TVs to kind of, if they were hacked, somebody else could be listening. But even the Amazon, I think it's the Echo or whatever their device is, wasn't there concern about some of these things listening all the time to you? I mean, one was used in a court case, I think, because somebody committed a crime and it recorded what went down without their knowledge.
That's right. And so that's why we want to be clear about what exactly we want to share. Each individual is going to have their own comfort level. Yeah. So we're going to, each family, each individual is going to have to decide how much convenience do I want to have versus how much loss of privacy am I comfortable with. It's going to have to be a balance.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Even when you're using a Google search engine, you're being monitored in terms of what you're typing in. So your search results are catered toward what you're doing. When you go on to Amazon and you purchase stuff or on eBay, you know, it shows you things that are similar to what you've purchased. Right. They're going to try to market to you.
Let's go to Howard next. He's listening in Wisconsin. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Howard.
Hey, I was going to share my experience. Totally think the spine thing is totally there. Was at a company meeting where a safety bonus was passed out to everyone, $1,500. And the manager says, don't go out and spend all your money at Cabela's. Half an hour later, back at my desk, internet radio, the ad popped to the bottom, Cabela's. I didn't think there's any coincidence.
Cabela's, yeah.
Wow, that's bizarre. That is amazing. Yeah, have you been searching online beforehand for that type of stuff or doing anything else? Or? No.
Never shop Cabela's, never search online.
That's creepy.
Did.
Oh, man.
I think that's totally. Yeah,
dude, thank you. Thank you for calling, Howard. That's awesome. Doctor, your thoughts on that? Because I would say, look, if somebody is shopping for Cabela's or Sporting Goods or doing something somewhere in their, you know, in their, with their phones or their iPad or their computer, whatever they're doing, then maybe that stuff would pop up and maybe they make associations. But if he never talked about it, to have that come up, that would kind of freak me out a little bit.
Well, it's software profiling you, and the software has been written, algorithms have been written so that you can be profiled and they can customize their marketing to you. See, your wife is sweet and lovely, and she's not crazy.
She is. You know, I just received an email from somebody saying, be careful about taking your phone into the confessional. Well, you know, I never even think about it. You know.
That's right. And remember that every time we do searches, I mean, there are cookies that are stored as part of our browsing experience. And all those cookies are still there over a period of time, depending on what you have set up and your defaults
That's
and all
true.
That and which
That's
browser
true.
You're using. And it's over a period of time that your phone, your browsers, your apps, your devices like Echo and et cetera are going to be profiling you so that it knows what it can customize and serve up to you. Yeah. On the one hand, it's great. You know, I don't care about certain things, and I want to have my interests kind of given to me. But on the other hand, it's my privacy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's do this. Ron's listening in Mount Prospect, Illinois. Ron, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Thank you. It's weird that I turned on the radio and hear you guys are talking about this. It happened yesterday. Me and my friend were out at a place that we frequent, and on the radio, an Evanescence song comes out, a group from, you know, a few years back.
Yeah.
And I just happened, as we were walking out, it starts playing, and I go, oh, wow, I haven't heard Evanescence in a long time. And my friend says, yeah, I wonder what happened to him. We have not Google searched this or anything. And this morning he sends me his Facebook, a screenshot from his Facebook. And there it is. Evanescence coming to Chicago.
Oh my gosh.
As a sponsored ad. That just blew my mind. I was you know what? I kind of blamed his Android device, but that's, yeah, it's just weird. I just thought I'd share that one.
Well, thank you.
That's something else. There you go.
You know, right.
I love Evanescence for him. All right. Jake wanted to freak you out, Ron. We're always listening.
Thank you.
That is weird, though. I mean, honestly, it could be coincidence, right, Doctor? I want to throw that out there. That could be a sheer coincidence that it happens. But it's not like that, you know, that was something current. He was thinking, it's been a long time since I heard that band. You know, we know that we can be targeted by highly specific ads, right? And a lot of times they're incredibly accurate. Is it because they're predictive? For example, like, as you point out, it could be somebody's browsing history. Maybe he was looking at music or, you know, who knows? Do they correlate stuff? For example, they take a bunch of data that shows, let's take vacations. Absolutely. You're on a vacation website, right? So I'm planning my vacation for the summer and all of a sudden I start getting ads for weight loss or for Weight Watchers or whatever it might be because they know I'm going to the beach and you might want to lose weight, right? You know, or if I say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, there was an ad I saw where it says, hey, if you're planning vacations, 9 months later, you might get ads for baby products because a lot of times people get pregnant on those vacations. So,
and all the related information. Right. It's all parts of algorithms that are correlated and served up to you. Now, that's the current scenario. It's happening mm-hmm. right now. And what's going to happen in a couple of years? I mean, we've seen science fiction films where you're walking past a store and it's got a huge screen TV, and as you're walking right past the store, that TV could be showing you ads catered just for you because some other camera has spotted you walking down the street, hit it right past this store, and so it pops up on the screen. I mean, talk about privacy. It's no longer on your phone, on your device. It's now kind of seen by everyone else. Yeah, do you want that?
I wonder if there'll be some expose done by some investigative journalists in the years ahead to find out that really we were being spied on. Right now, I don't believe we are. You know, I kind of think it's all this different data being accumulated and some is coincidence and some isn't. But how do you, right. I mean, you hear a business person in their office, somebody else, you know, who's talking in the privacy of their home about hygiene, somebody else talking about a band from a couple of years ago and all this stuff targeting. That's kind of bizarre. Kathy in Minnetonka, Minnesota. Good to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, Drew. Yeah. Hi. A friend of mine contacted me about a month ago because she was so upset. She had been at church after church visiting just with a friend about a soup recipe. And later that afternoon, she hadn't searched it or anything, but they were talking about the ingredients. And she said there were ads on her tablet or her iPad for some of the ingredients at Walmart where she could find them.
Wow.
And she, you know, she wasn't on her phone. Yeah, she said she was so freaked out about it. She said, look at this. And I said, yeah, that's a good reason not to have any, I call them critters, not Alexa or anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it a name. Like, they don't name animals at the zoo Alexa or whatever in your household because they're always listening. But yeah, she was pretty upset when some of the ingredients showed up.
That's crazy.
That they had talked about.
Well, Kathy, thank you.
But was it helpful to her? But was it helpful to her at that point, you know?
Yeah, was it helpful to her?
I don't know. She just was just kind of freaked out that the fact that she hadn't gone searching for it. She had this discussion and her phone was in her purse. And now later on, some of the things that they had talked about were showing up in ads and like at Walmart where she could find
that's
them.
Unbelievable. I owe my wife an apology. Hey, Kathy, thank you. My wife will love your call because, you know, I mean, that's something so specific too, you know, ingredients in a recipe that they're now advertising. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And when I started this conversation, Doctor, I really thought, oh, come on, it's this data pool, it's probability, it's this targeting that they're thinking way ahead, it's this artificial intelligence. But that's so weird. I mean, some of these calls are just so weird. Can I ask you, how do we protect ourselves from this? Do you shut off your microphone? What do you do? Shut off your tracking? What do you do if you're freaky about this stuff?
If you really are freaky about the stuff, you got to live off the grid, and that's going to be kind of tough without any technology in our world today. So, short of living completely off the grid, you know, yeah, I'd shut off my phone. If I'm not using it, if I'm going to be with somebody else at the dinner table, I want to do my darndest to focus my attention on that, on being in person with that other human being and not have somebody else kind of interrupting, unless, of course, there's something really urgent. Or other than that, you know, shut off the phone, shut off the device. When you're surfing, if you really don't want these ads targeted at you, you might want to do the privacy setting through your browser. You might want to disable cookies. You might want to check your device settings to see what kind of information is being sent back. Oftentimes, if you read the fine print, there is a little checkbox about whether you want the information that's sent back, and it'll tell you things that it'll how it'll help the company cater information toward you. But you can always uncheck that little checkbox if you're freaked out about this.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. I'm going to take a few more calls. I appreciate your patience. If you're on hold, I'm going to get you on. If you're just joining me, let me fill you in on what's going on. We're looking at whether or not your phone eavesdrops on you, or whether your digital device somehow does, the Alexa, the Cortana, whatever it is that you have in your home, Siri. What's the truth behind this strange phenomenon? And as you're hearing from so many different people, my own wife said the same thing. I mean, it's almost weird. You have a conversation, and then within a very small window later, targeted ads around what you just discussed start coming to you. I can tell my guest today, Dr. Gan, he's not so worried about it. We'll talk to him about why not and what does the future look like as well. This might become your reality. We'll get into that, take more of your calls right after that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Get the facts now. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Good to be here with you. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you missed any of the conversation or you want to share this, perhaps with your spouse or somebody who thinks you're crazy, go to relevantradio.com. Look for my archive, the Drew Mariani Show page. When I sign off today, Jake will get it up probably within the hour. And then you can share that link with somebody that you love. And if you're just joining me, we're taking a look about what seems to be a very creepy occurrence, as if though your smart device, your phone, maybe your tablet, maybe your TV, maybe, you know, that that Cortana or whatever it is that you have in your home, the Amazon Echo, is it possibly spying on you? People are reporting the facts that they talk about something in what they think is a private conversation, and suddenly targeted ads are coming their way. And I'm joined by Dr. Eugene Gan, who is here to give us some perspective on this. And, Doctor, before we jump back into the calls quickly, I want people to get plugged into you because I know you address this issue and others. You wrote a book called Infinite Bandwidth, which I know is available at Emmaus Road. EugeneGan.weebly.com, and you'll probably find info at our webpage for him as well. His book is Infinite Bandwidth. All right, let's jump back into the phones again, and let's also talk about the God angle on this too, Doctor, before we run out of time. Dan is listening in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Hi, Dan. Thank you for joining us.
Last weekend, my wife and I were in Walmart. She had a phone in her pocketbook. If you know Walmart, if you go into the back of the store, you can't get any communication on your phone. Your bars go down to zero. It's like a fortress in there. But anyway, right, we're in the back of the store, and my wife said, "Do you need spray butter?" And I said, "Yes." We went over to the spray butter section, and a few minutes later, she took her phone out of her pocketbook, went onto Facebook, and there's a big ad for "I can't believe it's not butter."
Wow.
On your phone.
Wow.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, did it come with a coupon?
Yeah, I know. But the creepy part is you can't get communication in Walmart on your phone if you're in the back of the store. So it gets in anyway.
Huh.
It gets into her pocketbook where her phone is and still hears her. And that's not it's happened 6 or 7 times.
Wow, that's crazy. Dan, thank you. Yeah, I only got a couple minutes, Doctor, so I'm going to let you respond to them as well. Somebody else also said, you know, these computers and your things can exclude you from things you might search for, like jobs, homes, et cetera, because of the profiles that are generated about you, your religious belief, et cetera. So that's a whole other conversation. What's the God angle on all this?
Well, that's really important to talk about, because in the end, you had mentioned before about not having fear about all this, because in the end, if we have a choice. We can live in fear of all this, or we can say, well, maybe it's naive of me, but here's how I think about it. God's lovingly watching me all the time, no matter where I am, whatever I'm doing. So, you know what? I want to really strive hard, and despite my faults, I want to get back up again and strive hard to be pleasing to Him. And to be pleasing to Him is to be pleasing to the people around me, pleasing in the sense that I'm walking upright. So in that sense, I've really got nothing to fear, because I'm walking in God's sight, His loving sight. He's watching me all the time.
Well, Dr. Armour, thank you for your time. Lots of calls, stories of shoulder problem, and then stem treatment ads coming up. A lot of people sharing their own experiences and suggestions actually on preventing the phone from listening. I wish I got to that in Augusta, Maine. Doctor, thanks. We'll check you out. We'll put a link up for you. Don't forget, you can bring Dr. Gahn in. Go to Eugene Weebly, eugenegahn.weebly.com. That's his website. Check out Infinite Bandwidth and share this conversation with others. I'm on every day. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific, 2 to 5 Central. Tell others about the broadcast. I'll be praying for you. Until next time, God bless.